Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, it's Friday. I love Fridays because tomorrow is Saturday and I get to work, but not necessarily do an episode, but all the other things that I don't get to do all week long. We got a really, really good show for you today. This is one that really hits close to home. I grew up in the peak of the drug culture during the 70s and 80s. And back then, you know, it was not only socially acceptable, but I want to say socially expected that people use drugs. And today it's quite the opposite, you know. It's politically incorrect to say anything that's pro-drug and so on and so forth. But there's an interesting correlation between drug addiction and those of us who thrive in the physical culture environment. And my guest today knows a lot about this. He's Dr. Joel Nathan. He has spent, actually today, this is your 21st year in addiction medicine. Is that correct, Dr. Nathan?
How you doing?
Very good, very good. Pleasure to have you on the show. And for those people who aren't aware of your credentials, you actually ran the Stanford University alcohol and drug program out in California, right?
Yes, I did. Great experience.
So you were not only running it during the peak of the drug culture, but you were running it in Los Angeles, where pretty much, you know, drugs were part of the fare.
Well, up in Palo Alto, so it was near San Francisco, where it was a drug city.
Sure. I mean, well, actually, even more so up there in Northern California.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Okay. So you've had a unique perspective. Now I should also mention that you also, this is what gives you the unique perspective, you also have an age management and longevity clinic that you operate, correct?
Yes, I do.
So this has given you an opportunity to really gain a very unique perspective that most physicians would never have by taking those two disciplines and looking at them and overlaying them and go, look at this.
Well, I did think that. In fact, I was working with a famous endocrinologist in New York City. I was telling her, hey, you know, a lot of these patients have addiction issues. And she said, ah, shut up, Joel. You're not seeing it right.
Right. Everything is addiction.
I think I was right.
Yeah, right.
I know I was right.
Right. And so let's discuss that just a little bit for a second.
Yeah.
What at first started to pique your interest in these two disciplines? When did you see the crossover between your clients that you had worked with in drug addiction and the people that you were coming in contact with in the physical culture arena?
When I see patients who come to me with opiate dependency, alcohol dependency, they're jocks, both men and women. They go from sports jocks to financial whiz jocks, and you get a few cheerleaders in there too, but they cross over from feeling really good when they work out or play sports, and they feel excellent after they go to the doctor with that back pain, they get an Oxycontin, and they go, wow, as a connection.
And really the connection is what probably makes the thing that makes someone a high achiever in sports may actually be what makes them susceptible to addiction, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's amazing. The guy who gets a Demerol shot after the football game gets a little reward for his action.
Right. Interesting. But what about the fact that – let's talk about a couple things. First of all, do you think that there are more men institutionalized for drug and alcohol addictions than women? So clearly – men seem to tilt the scales a little bit. Would you agree with that?
Yes, they do.
Okay. And we also know from studies done on pain that men have a greater activation of the opioid system in their body, which allows us to have a greater threshold to pain.
They do. There's a connection between addiction and violence also, which may come in with the male hormones.
Really?
Also.
What do you mean? What kind of connection?
So violence and chemical dependency go hand in hand with drug abuse, with either the being high and deactivating the people's ability to know what's right to do, or the withdrawal and people feeling very irritable. Happens both ways. Violence comes up.
Okay. Now, and I want to set the stage here. The reason we're talking about this is because there came a point in your career where you began treating drug addiction with hormone replacement therapy, correct?
I've got patients that are crossover from my addiction practice into the hormone therapy practice. I don't do that right away, but people come in, they have not had a good diet, they're not exercising, a lot of them were jocks, and they're feeling like, you know, I want to get back to the way I was, now I'm not using or drinking anymore, and I want to stay that way, and then they come into age management.
And do you find that when you bring them into the fold of hormone replacement therapy, do you find that their ability to stay off of the recreational drugs is improved?
The people I've had so far, yes. They really get into it. They get into the exercise. Their diet is sparked. They're getting results. It's almost like when they used to do drugs and they get results. Now they're exercising and dieting and getting results along with their hormone replacement.
Very interesting. Yeah. Now there is already a well-established link between the endocrine system and the opioid system, correct?
Yes, there is. Anabolic steroids actually increase endorphins by its own endogenous opiates. And so people feel good. Their emotions get better. Their mood is elevated when they're using testosterone or other anabolic steroids.
And now we're not necessarily talking about super physiological doses that are employed by athletes. We're talking about clinical doses of testosterone. We know that when men are aging and their testosterone levels begin to dip, one of the most profound benefits from putting them on hormone replacement therapy is a renewed sense of well-being. And that sense of well-being is a result of the androgen receptor and also the opioid receptor, because we know that hormones make people feel better. They make you feel better. And that interacts with the opioid receptor. And that's the same receptor we're dealing with when people become addicted to opiates like heroin or Nubain and so on and so forth.
Exactly.
So it could be said that those same individuals who are prone to be benefit from hormone replacement therapy would also be prone to drug addiction. Even though they may never have become addicted to drugs, they probably have the makeup that would allow them to become addicted
to
drugs.
Those jocks, yes, they would. But they actually, and they do very well in the business world, incredibly well, and they're prone to drug addiction, alcohol abuse, or drug addiction. Yes.
So you said this twice that they become jocks in the business world as well. And what you really mean is, when we think of a jock, we think of a high achiever in sports. But what you're really saying here, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that maybe those people who are high achievers tend to actually feel the benefits, the satisfaction of achievement to a greater degree than the average person does.
Exactly.
They feel it on a chemical level.
Oh, yeah. Well, in my opinion, Wall Street is run on opiates.
What do you mean by that?
Opiates are the steroid of the business world. It enhances people's courage to make bigger deals, and when they win, they feel great.
Are you saying that the people on Wall Street actually are using opiets, and while they're actively...
Yeah, really, before 9/11, the heroin dealers would deliver them right to the brokerages. Now they don't, so they have a bottle of OxyContin on their desk, which they refill through friends. So it's not looked at as something illegal, although they are getting that bottle refilled probably more than the doctor prescribes.
I never knew that. That's amazing.
Well, I see it.
That's amazing. So, I'm. That's like a whole different issue right there.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Okay. Uh-huh. So, you know what's really funny? We know that there was a study done that I actually bought a copy of it for business purposes by a company in New York called Package Facts, and they did a study on. What was called the Fit Consumers of the U.S. study. And what they identified was that fit consumers were categorized as anybody who goes to the gym at least 3 times a week and participates in a sport whenever possible. They control higher household incomes. They tend to be higher achievers. They make more money. They buy more cars. It's more so than any other subcategory. So it's clear that the linkage between exercise and its ability to make them feel that sensation that they would from drugs, for instance, but maybe they're not using drugs, these individuals, it's very well defined, and it's very clear.
Yes. In fact, staying on a schedule with workout and diet, especially, you get bodybuilders who are eating 6 or more times a day, it keeps them on a schedule. And having that structure helps people to maintain their sobriety.
Okay, that's another side of it. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk about what you have seen taking individuals who have been addicted to recreational drugs and opiates and bringing them into the fold of hormone replacement therapy. We're talking today with Dr. Joel Nathan. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Lean back. Lean back. Lean back. Come on. I said, my don't dance. You still up a pants. Do the rock away. Come on. Life is a continuous journey, and Change Your Life Now gives you the tools for continuous empowerment. Change Your Life Now is a practical guide to the biological process of age reversal. It's deliberately understandable and concise, so you can employ its message immediately and begin to realize the changes within days. The reader need only provide a positive attitude, desire, and discipline, and the results are guaranteed. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Change Your Life Now banner ad to learn more or to order your copy today. Don't wait another moment. Change your life now. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. Natadrol is an extremely potent natural muscle-building androgenic activator. Natadrol contains four unique extracts that unleash and amplify androgen receptors to a level only thought possible by steroids. While Natadrol is hormonal, it should not make users test positive for performance-enhancing agents. Natadrol will transform your physique, increase strength, nutrient repartitioning, and subcutaneous water loss, leading to a harder, denser, stronger appearance. Choose LG Science's Natadrol to fuel your growth, intensity, stamina, libido, and drive. LG Science's Natadrol is available in both single bottles and as part of the Natabolic Stack found at bodybuilding.com, DPS Nutrition, and other fine retailers. Visit lgsciences.com today to learn more. We all know how effective amino acid supplements are. Well, get ready to be shocked. Amino acid supplements just reached a new level of strength. Say hello to GEAR. GEAR is super concentrated, super potent, and so bioavailable, it's equivalent to injectable amino acids. GEAR is best used between meals to keep nitrogen balances tilted towards anabolism. GEAR causes an increase in anabolic signaling that tells your muscles it's time to grow. Get GEAR today by visiting needtobuildmuscle.net. GEAR. This ain't your daddy's amino acid supplement. All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at orbitnutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit orbitnutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. orbitnutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at orbitnutrition.com.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Just want to remind everybody that you can get an additional 10% off all of your purchases from orbitnutrition.com. Save an additional 10% off of their already low, low prices when you use the coupon code SHR10. That's SHR10 at checkout. And please check them out, orbitnutrition.com. My guest today is Dr. Joel Nathan. We're talking about the relationship between anabolic steroids, psychoactive drugs, addiction, and recovery. Dr. Nathan, what exactly is, and I don't know if I'm going to pronounce this properly, naloxone? Naloxone?
Well, there's naloxone, which is intravenous form of an opiate blocker. It blocks the effect of narcotics. There's an oral form called naltrexone, and they're used to block the effects of opiates on the central nervous system.
Now, interestingly enough, a study done on rats shows that naloxone caused testicular hypertrophy. And actually, by blocking the effects in the testes of opiates, it actually increased testosterone production.
Yeah, it's amazing. In fact, it can be used as a age management tool to raise testosterone. The mechanism is that when you are on, well, testosterone starts blocking, starts making opiates. The opiates, which are the endorphins, go into the hypothalamus. The hypothalamus gets this opiate signal, and it shuts down. It doesn't put out the hormone, luteinizing hormone, that causes testosterone to be shot out from the testes. If you block the opiates, the FSH and the luteinizing hormone, they shoot off again, and the testes start making testosterone.
Okay, so now just based on that statement alone, then one could say that very, very high doses of growth hormone could potentially lower testosterone, because growth hormone has been known to interact with the opioid receptor. One of the reasons that people get a sense of well-being from growth hormone as well.
They do, but there's also the fact that they also work well synergistically, and if one is on testosterone, the growth, first, testosterone will raise growth hormone automatically. So a lot of people don't, who are in age management, don't have to take growth hormone.
Right.
But if they're taking the growth hormone shots, the testosterone enhances it.
But just for clarification, this is generally only seen when using an aromatizing androgen as the foundation for your hormone replacement therapy, mm-hmm. because it's actually the estradiol that appears to have the magic in raising growth hormone pulse, the pulse and the amplitude of growth hormone production.
And the estradiol is also it's also the one that makes you raise your endorphins, your body's own natural opiates that cuts off then the hormones that make you make testosterone.
Interesting. So really, there's a very, very, there's really, it seems like a balancing act. The body has to produce a certain amount of agents that interact with the opioid receptors in order to create a sense of well-being, allow us to deal with day-to-day pain. But too much ends up shutting down hormone production that actually feeds the opioid receptors.
It does. Naltrexone is also a whole thing of low-dose naltrexone. Instead of the 50-milligram tablets, 3 milligrams, we use in the HIV literature, it actually will trick your body to raising your endorphins. People feel better, but by raising your endorphins, you're going to cut off your testosterone levels. So the naltrexone you have to give has to be the normal dose, 50 milligrams or higher. You can't give low-dose naltrexone.
Yeah, low-dose naltrexone, by the way, is also being successfully used with people who suffer from fibromyalgia.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, they give it in conjunction with something else. I can't remember what it was, but apparently low-dose naltrexone has the ability to somehow block the pain of certain diseases.
So. You're making more endorphins, so there's a feeling of well-being. It also, higher endorphins help immunity.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. So now let's talk about you. So you've actually taken individuals who were addicted to drugs, And it wasn't by design. It just kind of happened. And you got them into a physical culture lifestyle. You got them on hormone replacement therapy, and their urges to use the recreational drugs subsided. Correct?
It did, and they're the ones who are the most gung ho with this whole thing. They really love the age magic because the meds, the exercise, the diet. It's all working for them. They're seeing the magic occur.
Now, how much of it do you think has to do with the mentality of us baby boomers? I mean, again, I'm 52 years old. I grew up in the drug culture, and I have a finer knowledge of what happens when someone is using drugs with regularity, whether you want to call it addiction or not. And there's a cycle. There's the cycle of that draws someone into the usage. It's not just the actual usage of the drug. It's the planning and the procuring of the drug. It's preparing to use the drug. All of that actually kind of whets the appetite, if you will, of the drug user and is part of the ritual, if you will.
Yeah, there's the anticipation of the use.
Right.
The waiting for it to come. It's like playing slot machines. It's like waiting to the bingo, you know. And to get in is a rush, just in getting it. So yeah, there's a whole thing with
How much of that plays into the fact that baby boomers are now embracing this, for lack of better terms, gray area of medicine? You know, anti-aging is still being kind of treated like a stepchild by the medical orthodoxy, and we baby boomers are like, no, this is kind of our tune in. You know, what was that old saying that they had back in the Haight-Ashbury days? Check in, tune in, tune out. Yeah, drop. I forget what it was, but anyway, is this just the baby boomers rebelling again and saying, hey, we've got our new drug of choice now. It's going to be hormones.
Well, it is a drug of choice because it's plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is! They want speedy relief. this gives them speedy return to how they were.
Does it really? Is it speedy?
Yeah. Well, not speedy, fast, but they within 3 to 4 months, they're able to exercise, they're stronger, they lose their fat, they get the compliments from people, and they're just feeling better. 4 months is not that long.
No, it's not. It's not. And obviously, it's a better alternative than using illegal opiates and drugs like that. I mean, because these have benefits. I mean, testosterone replacement therapy has been associated with producing beneficial effects to the cardiovascular system, to the rest of the endocrine system, to the neurological system. I mean, so this is not deteriorating the body. This is actually enhancing the body.
Yeah, also, there's a whole culture. When you're in age management, you have this little pill case with all these vitamins and supplements, and you got it all there. And it's like your stash. But, you know, it's a healthy stash. But it's the same behaviors there.
I relate. I mean, I have to tell you. I mean, during the 70s in high school and into college, like everyone in my surrounding circle, drugs were very, very popular. And, you know, acid and pot and certain downers and certain uppers and, you know, and angel dust and all these different things were around, and people experimented and tried this and tried that. And I have to say that with the hormone replacement therapy that I'm on, and also my penchant for supplements, I kind of feel like I'm still carrying on that tradition, but I've changed from poison to something beneficial. But I still have that same sense that if I'm not taking my vitamins every day, I'm somehow not doing what I should be doing. You know what I mean? And now searching for vitamins and learning the sciences,
yeah.
The difference when back in the day, you'd go to a neighborhood and cop and you'd take risks and you'd get the drug. Now it's kind of like doing the research and hopefully that this is going to have an effect on me and so on and so forth. I feel like we kind of traded off.
We traded off, and people are on the internet getting overloaded information. They're checking out different sites, some good, some not good. And they go to different vitamin stores and hearing from their friends what's new, you know, what's it's the in thing. It's like, you know, they treat it as though it's like really gossip. But the thing is, some of it is true. They need someone who knows what they're doing to direct them in a way that's healthy and shown to work.
What about the use of syringes? Why did you just make –
Well, because it's true, is that people get addicted to a syringe. There's something very sexy to some people about injection. And it's something that there's a whole ritual involved of wiping off the bottle, cleaning the skin, you know, getting up the medicine. It's a ritual again, but it works.
Well, yeah, and this is a different. Obviously, instead of shooting OxyContin or heroin or something or Nubane, you know, they're injecting their growth hormone or their peptides or their testosterone, and obviously, once again, it's a better thing. But I almost feel like the baby boomer generation was the perfect generation to embrace anti-aging, because we already learned that you could trust some drugs to do what they're supposed to do.
Exactly.
And not kill you.
Right.
Because back in the day when I was a kid, you know, they had that movie Reefer Madness, and people told you stories. Well, if you take acid, you'll never come back from the trip. And then the first time you tripped, you found out that was a lie.
Yeah.
And so we were actually the perfect generation to embrace the whole anti-aging movement, weren't we?
Yeah, it's true. Plus, there's a desperation at 50, 55. You know, I want to be young. I want to feel young. I want to compete. I have kids still that are young. I got to keep up with the kids. You know, I want to compete in a bodybuilding contest.
And you just did, didn't you?
I did, the Steve Stowe Metropolitan, April 3rd.
How did you do?
I came in the Masters fourth place.
How old are you now?
55.
Wow, and you came in fourth place. That's pretty darn good, man.
Thank you.
Very good, very good.
Hard work.
Yes, right.
But that's the whole thing with the getting ready and the structured life, the structured diet, the whole thing. It's amazing watching the body change. It's great.
Yeah. All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, I've got a question I'm going to ask you about your opinion on marijuana. We're talking today with Dr. Joel Nathan. You can visit his website, which is joelnathanmd.com. That's his drug addiction website. Or you can go to his anti-aging website, which is evolve-medical.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Keep it down on the low key. You know how it feels. Hey, hey. I'm pretty sure you're checking up on me.
federal government is more aggressive than ever prosecuting anabolic steroid-related cases. Whether you're a physician, supplement company, or citizen, ignorance of the law is not a defense. Buying from overseas pharmacies, large numbers of patients on hormone replacement therapy, and releasing new hormone-based supplements can all be red flags to the federal government. Don't take chances. You need attorneys that have years of experience defending anabolic steroid-related cases. You need J. Clark Baird and Bill Butler. Knowledge is power. Know where you stand before the federal government comes knocking. Go to SteroidDefenseLawyers.com. That's SteroidDefenseLawyers.com. Go today and be safer tomorrow.
Turinabol from PrimordialPerformance.com is a Haladrol clone. Turinabol will give you up to 15 pounds of lean body mass in as little as 6 weeks. Since Turinabol does not aromatize, there's no conversion to estrogen. Turinabol takes advantage of the patented Liquivade technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Turinabol report increased strength and lean gains with little side effects. Get Turinabol today while supplies last at PrimordialPerformance.com. Don't wait for Turinabol to be added to the federal ban list. Turinabol, a company committed to truth in advertising, to science-driven product development, a company that still believes in accountability to its customers. All American EFX is that company. With a full line of performance-enhancing aids like Crealkaline EFX Pro, muscle pump amplifiers like Nitrix EFX, growth and recovery enhancers like LBA Pro and LG5 Pro, and a fully tested core nutrition series. So if you want the very best in bodybuilding and performance supplements, go to any GNC or visit AAEFX. EFX.com today. That's AAEFX.com. All American EFX. We don't play games. We just help you win them.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Selective androgen receptor modulators represent the future of hormone replacement therapy. Institutions looking to perform research depend upon the potency and authenticity of the materials they buy. That's why your institution needs to trust Chemex for their SARMS materials. Go to chemx.net today for SARMS S4 for your research project. Don't trust the success of your project to questionable sources. Trust chemx.net. That's chemx.net. Chemex.net.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Talking today with Dr. Joel Nathan about anabolic steroids, psychoactive drugs, addiction and recovery. Dr. Nathan, what's your opinion of marijuana?
I don't condemn or condone it. That's the public answer. It is helpful to people who have, with nausea, who need weight increase with HIV. It is a gateway drug. It is a gateway drug.
What if you're an older individual and it's no longer a gateway drug? You already did the gateway drugs, and now you're using marijuana because it helps you, let's say, sleep or relax or something like that.
Well, that's an interesting point. Is that as in the older brain, all of a sudden, when people are in their teens, they relax. Hey, man, they're on the grass. And then usually, in many people get paranoid when they get older. The grass of 2010 is not the marijuana of the 60s.
In other words, it's much stronger now.
Stronger, grown hydroponically. There's something called hydro, where they're adding extra drugs to that. It could be an opiate. Could be cocaine, you know, crack. They add it to the marijuana. It's expensive as hell. But, it's much stronger.
Because obviously, like states like California, cities like Aspen, yeah. Colorado, they're legalizing marijuana use for, yeah. You know, they're going to treat it like alcohol pretty soon.
It's true. I have a patient who is a lawyer for a buyer's club in California, showed me a video. It looks like a delicatessen. It got out of the grass in nice little piles in a case. It's very clean cut.
I you know what? I've got two children living in San Diego, and we were walking one day, and my son pointed one out. And he said, you know what that is? I says, no, what is it? He goes, that's where you can go and buy your medical marijuana.
Yeah.
And I looked through the window, and it really looked like, to me,
like a bakery. They had glass cases. They had plates with large piles of bud on it. And then they had glass jars with the rest of the stuff in it. Yeah. And it had different. You could see the labels. It was like this one. You know, like if you were buying wine, you know, a fruity, peppery taste. That it had like a description of how it tasted and what effects it would have on your body.
Yeah, they're buyers because they have people with silver trays that go amongst the people and they give them little samples.
Is that right?
Yeah, up in San Francisco.
Oh my God! But anyway, I can predict with pretty much certainty that within the next 10 years. It's going to be all over the country. We're going to have legalized marijuana because as California goes, so does the country when it comes to those types of things.
It'll come across the country slowly but surely. It'll be interesting to see how it gets out like that. But yeah, most likely it will.
I also know athletes who say that marijuana heightens their ability to focus while training. I have a friend who trains with a fellow who's a professional bodybuilder who insists on smoking pot before going into the gym to do his heaviest moves. He says that it actually allows him to focus. He puts his headphones on, tunes into his music, gets under the bar, and does his work.
Well, I can't talk about that, but it does help pain control. And so people who can lift heavier because they're not feeling the pain, of course, they might feel pain later. But it's like when people are like using Nubane, which is an opiate.
I was just going to say
Nubane.
They're
feeling the pain. They lift heavier. They get bigger. They pay the price.
Yeah, they pay the price. Okay.
Yeah.
And that leads me to another interesting observation that I've made. Having friends within the professional bodybuilding community has given me an interesting perspective, and I've started to realize that there's a lot of people who are in bodybuilding solely because it is socially acceptable to use the drugs. And when I say socially, I mean amongst the bodybuilding community, to use the drugs. It's almost like using drugs is the important thing, whether it be marijuana or Nubane or, Trenbolone and Anthate and D-Bol. It's the excitement of using the drugs that attracts them to the culture.
Oh, yeah, it's a whole social community. And it's acceptable in the bodybuilding field. And there's a whole clandestine. It's just like secret, and they go kind of find the stuff and get it and take it. It's a whole thing.
So do you find this in other sports as well, or is this strictly something that's unique to bodybuilding?
You probably find it in all sports. And there's some drugs that don't come up positive on the usual drug screens, like Suboxone, which is an opioid used to treat opiates. So there's probably people who are on opiates that are getting tested, say, at the workplace, but the workplace doesn't test for, say, Oxycontin, just opiates. Oxycontin does not come up positive on an opiate screen.
Really?
Just like methadone doesn't. So I've known companies that only test for opiates, and they don't pick up the oxycodone, they don't pick up the methadone or the Suboxone.
That's interesting. So those are drugs that in most cases won't be picked up on a drug test if you are using that, and they are opiates, correct?
They're opioids.
Opioids.
If they come from a poppy plant, they're opiate. And the savvy company, or they have a physician who's called a medical review officer, they'll know what to do. But in companies who want to give it short shrift, they'll just bypass it.
So I got you. So really, you have to be in the know. You have to realize that some of these drugs are not going to show up.
Yeah, or people can have a poppy seed bagel. Two poppy seed bagels, you're positive for morphine. You're positive for opiates.
Is that really true? That was on Seinfeld years and years ago. That was really true, huh?
It is.
So those poppy seeds on a poppy seed bagel or Kaiser roll come from the same poppy plant that opium comes from?
It is, and it's not going to get you high. I've had patients who buy decorative poppies, dried poppies at a flower store, and they brew the pods, and they get addicted to it. Don't tell anybody about that.
Okay, right? we'll keep that
keep that under wraps.
Is that right? So, in other words, those poppies are going to produce opiates.
It has the morphine in there, not enough to get you high, but it shows a positive on the test.
Wow, and I always thought that was a joke on the Seinfeld episode where Elaine tests positive and it's because of the poppy seed bagels that she makes.
No, it's the poppy seed defense. People can get away with it one time.
Yeah,
but
right.
But that's about it.
And so it stays in your system for a couple days?
Well, 2 or 3 days. Well, any opiate stays in 2 or 3 days.
Huh. I didn't know that. Okay. So yeah. Opioids are synthetic opiates, right?
Correct. It's,
okay, man-made. And that's the difference. Those tests don't pick them up.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about the anti-aging and anabolic steroid crossover here for a second. So now yeah. you have patients that you treat for anti-aging, and do a lot of them have past drug addictions?
Not a lot. But more than that, some of them are in denial. I don't try to get through that denial. I listen to them. I might not. Let's say one guy wanted some additional medication like growth hormone. I said no, he'd need to stop drinking first.
Right, right.
And he didn't wish to, so he didn't get the growth hormone. So when I talk to someone, I do screen them for chemical dependency.
No. Go ahead, I'm sorry. You finish.
No, also, there's eating disorders. Like women who come to see me, some may have eating disorders, and they're on a hormone replacement too.
What about? I mean, and that leads me to this question. You know, somebody like myself who used drugs avidly through high school and college, and then at some point in my time, I ceased to use drugs.
Mm-hmm.
But perhaps my personality is the type that I have, this addictive personality. So now, then I went from drugs to food,
yeah.
And I ballooned up to 350 pounds,
yeah.
And then I went from food to physical culture and nutrition, and then added in hormone replacement therapy. So am I really truly an addicted person? I just changed my addiction of choice?
You did. What can I say? You did. That's what's so attractive about age management. It does give people legal drugs that are managed, but they're still thinking, okay, I'm taking something that's special. Not everybody can do this.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. And so I'm having a hard time. I'm wrestling with this idea that I am actually addicted.
If one can stop and stay stopped. The definition of addiction is continued use despite adverse consequences over a year period of time. So
The magic word there is
adverse consequences.
Well, I was going to say the magic there is adverse consequences. If I'm getting stronger and getting healthier, these are not adverse consequences.
But if your liver tests are upping and you continue to use, that's an issue.
Right, but now my liver is clean. I mean,
yeah.
I see what you're saying. But if you're on a hormone replacement therapy program and you're exercising and you're eating right, and these are not negative effects,
right.
then it's not considered addiction.
No, it's not.
But it should be. It should be. I think addiction.
Adverse consequences.
But,
you know, it has got to be adverse consequences. Is someone missing work, not taking care of their family? You know what? Are they robbing to get this series? You know, it depends. It's got to be adverse consequences.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. Interesting.
Yeah.
What do you think the most amazing thing that you've learned in the past 30 years about addiction that most people would be surprised about?
If you think you have an addiction problem, you probably do. I think that if anyone's questioning it, have it evaluated, because people who are normies don't question it. I think it's the questioning person that they can actually get help earlier and to intervene sooner. But nothing really surprises me anymore. Really. Is that great? But the jock thing, the fact that I can say to someone, hey, what sport were you in? And I'm right 80% of the time, and they go, wow, this guy knows what he's talking about, which I do, but it's a connection with someone. It gives a good rapport.
Yeah. Do you think that all people who are addicted to recreational drugs have subclinical issues with their endocrine system?
It's associated with that. You know, those people are taking opiates to have decreased testosterone. But there's just, which comes first, the chicken or the egg? It's hard to say.
Right, because we know the opiates can suppress testosterone production.
Right, alcohol can too. And so if someone is a recovery alcoholic, it might take 18 months to a year to get back to normal potency. So the libido comes back and be able to perform. Then if they don't do it at that time, they should see a urologist. But you don't know which came first. Maybe together. Maybe as people get older, they're looking for more of a potent stimulant for their health, and they get more into the steroids when they get into their 50s or 45 or over.
Well, I know the medical industry likes to use the term self-medicating. Children who are addicted to drugs are self-medicating. They have an underlying problem.
Underlying depression could be attention deficit disorder, manic depression, you know, any kind of mood disorder. And so people, you know, are self-medicating. But you got to look at the exercise and diet. By keeping glucose constant throughout the day, you're helping emotion. And then if the testosterone or other hormone replacements allow them to get better use out of their exercise and diet, they're more likely to do the diet and exercise and stay feeling better just because they're diet and exercise.
And it's funny you mentioned that about glucose management. You know, in the economically underserved portions of this country, where we have the most aberrant behaviors, high crime, murders, and so on, we find that these are the people who are the, and I say, I'm using the term malnutrition in a different way. In the past, malnutrition was indicative of not getting enough food. These people are getting the wrong foods, and they have wild fluctuations in blood glucose levels, and hypoglycemia will make someone react to a situation in a different way, where maybe something happens and you would normally go, oh, okay, or get angry, but because you're having a hypoglycemic episode, you'll explode and strike out and become violent.
Right, more likely to react than respond.
Oh, okay, great. More likely to react than respond. So there's a lot to be said for those people who display that type of behavior and their diets, and we know this now. We know this. All right, let's take our last commercial break, and when we come back, we'll close the show. We're talking today with Dr. Joel Nathan. You can visit his websites for addiction, joelnathanmd.com, and for anti-aging, evolve-medical.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Life is a continuous journey, and Change Your Life Now gives you the tools for continuous empowerment. Change Your Life Now is a practical guide to the biological process of age reversal. It's deliberately understandable and concise, so you can employ its message immediately and begin to realize the changes within days. The reader need only provide a positive attitude, desire, and discipline, and the results are guaranteed. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Change Your Life Now banner ad to learn more or to order your copy today. Don't wait another moment. Change your life now. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. Natadrol is an extremely potent natural muscle-building androgenic activator. Natadrol contains four unique extracts that unleash and amplify androgen receptors to a level only thought possible by steroids. While Natadrol is hormonal, it should not make users test positive for performance-enhancing agents. Natadrol will transform your physique, increase strength, nutrient repartitioning, and subcutaneous water loss, leading to a harder, denser, stronger appearance. Choose LG Science's Natadrol to fuel your growth, intensity, stamina, libido, and drive. LG Science's Natadrol is available in both single bottles and as part of the Natabolic Stack found at bodybuilding.com, DPS Nutrition, and other fine retailers. Visit LGSciences.com today to learn more. We all know how effective amino acid supplements are. Well, get ready to be shocked. Amino acid supplements just reached a new level of strength. Say hello to Gear. Gear is super concentrated, super potent, and so bioavailable, it's equivalent to injectable amino acids. Gear is best used between meals to keep nitrogen balances tilted towards anabolism. Gear causes an increase in anabolic signaling that tells your muscles it's time to grow. Get Gear today by visiting needtobuildmuscle.net. Gear. This ain't your daddy's amino acid supplement. All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at orbitnutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit orbitnutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. orbitnutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at orbitnutrition.com.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
back to Superhuman Radio. We had an overwhelming response to the show we did the other day. It was last week, last Thursday, actually, I believe, with Paul Becker from Earth Pulse Technologies. And a lot of people went ahead and took advantage of the $100 off coupon and ordered a risk-free Earth Pulse for a 90-day trial. And I'm hoping to receive some emails to onair@superhumanradio.com from those of you who did order a unit once you get it. I'd like to hear from you. If you want to call the response in, I want to hear your opinion of the first week of sleeping with your Earth Pulse unit. I want to know about how well you sleep. I want to know about your performance in the gym. You can call the Superhuman Radio hotline at 206-222-2218 and leave a voicemail or send me an email to onair@superhumanradio.com. I love this product. I use it every single night now. Again, I had forgotten about it. It got me sleeping right again. It got me training hard in the gym again. And I did that show because I had forgotten all about it, and I wanted to share it with some of my new listeners who hadn't heard about it when I first talked about it a few years ago. So please let me know how you like your Earth Pulse unit for those of you who ordered one recently. My guest, Dr. Joel Nathan, we're talking about the relationship between hormone replacement therapy, anabolic steroids, addiction, psychoactive drugs. Dr. Nathan, what kind of drugs are we talking about when we talk about psychoactive?
Drugs that have the ability to have both tolerance and withdrawal. So when you have to take more over time, and if you stop them, you have to go through withdrawal. So that would be benzodiazepines like Valium, Xanax. It could be opiates like morphine, Tylenol with codeine. Or it could be alcohol or cocaine, amphetamine.
What about – that leads me to this question. Would you say that some hormones are psychoactive?
Oh, yes. If a water-based testosterone or the testosterone propionate, you probably get a faster feeling of euphoria. The esters, like the septinate or the
enanthate, right,
are not really going to give you a rush at all. It's very slow,
right,
reacting.
So clearly they have so I mean the media loves to talk about people becoming addicted to anabolic steroids. Do you believe that people become addicted to anabolic steroids in the clinical sense of addiction?
No, they get addicted to the fact that they look good, that they're big, they're slim, you know, they're able to lift. They're addicted to how they look and how they work out in the gym.
So couldn't the same... Okay, so in that case, couldn't the argument be made that anabolic steroids are not performance-enhancing drugs, but in fact appearance-enhancing drugs, and then be categorized in the same way that plastic surgery would?
Well, it is, but they are performance-enhancing as well as physical appearance-enhancing and mood-enhancing in the long run because people like the way they feel. There's a body dysmorphism. They're big, and they stop using. They're not as big, and they miss that. They want to be king of the jungle.
Now, are you on hormone replacement therapy yourself?
I am.
You are. Okay. And do you feel the difference? Like, when did you start your HR? I'm going to tell the story about what happened to me in 2007. When did you start your HR?
Actually, 2 years ago, after I did my certification. And as part of the program I was in, they wanted every doctor to be on this. And I started it 2 years ago.
Okay. And I'm going to share something with the listeners that maybe, I don't know if I've ever talked about this before, but in 2007 is when I actually started my hormone replacement therapy. And for a year prior to that, I had disrupted my endocrine system by using some very, very powerful transdermal aromatase inhibitors. And I got very sick for a year. I had even gone to an endocrinologist who specializes in these types of issues. And he was called, I'm trying to think what his title was, but it'll come to me. An andrologist. He was an andrologist.
Yeah.
He specialized in male.
What's going on?
Wow. Okay.
Oh, there you go.
Okay. Station ID. I don't know what that was. Anyway, he looked at me and, you know, and even though I wasn't clinically hypogonadal, so clinically hypogonadism starts at like 386 nanograms and I was like 420. He suggested that I just wait it out and see what happens. So I waited a year and it was a miserable year. I developed all sorts of horrible symptoms, anxiety, depression, sleeplessness, intolerance to carbohydrates. The list goes on and on. Tremor. I even developed very, very mild visible tremor, but severe
subjective tremor. My body felt like it was vibrating constantly throughout. And it took me a long time to make peace with the fact that my testes were not going to do what they needed to do any longer, because I identified my maleness with my testes. And now it's almost like a woman who comes to the conclusion that she can't have babies anymore. She probably goes through the same struggle and denial. And I tried supplements. I tried HCG. I tried clomiphene. Nothing could get my testosterone levels back up. In October, August of 2007, I started hormone replacement therapy. And I remember that after taking my first injection of testosterone enanthate, I remember within a week, I remember feeling a sensation and thinking to myself, I forgot that this is what life felt like. And the analogy that I've given to friends and family is this. Imagine you live in a big warehouse that has 100 light bulbs in it. And each year, one light bulb goes out. And by the time you're 50, half the light bulbs are out. But because it's such a gradual change from year to year, you just kind of adapt to it.
Right.
Then someone comes in one day while you're not looking and puts the other 50 light bulbs back in and flips the switch on. You go, oh, my God, is this how bright it used to be in here?
Right.
I forgot it used to be this bright. That is what happened when I started my hormone replacement therapy. And unfortunately, my relationship with my wife had already been pretty much destroyed by both of us going through hormonal cessation. She was going through menopause. I was going through andropause at the same time. We became grumpy and miserable. I believe a lot of marriages could be saved if people get on hormone replacement therapy, because all of a sudden you have all this renewed energy for life and enthusiasm for life, and you feel the way you did when you were 25. Like, oh, my God, life is about possibilities again.
It is. I've had stories of men who get their libidos back, and their wives call and say, hey, hold my hubby down. He's too aggressive.
Right.
You know, anyway, but it's...
And then you have to tell... Well, you got to tell her to come in. You got to say, well, you need to come in.
Come in and get hormone replacement herself.
Right.
It's amazing. It really does make you feel alive again. We optimize to someone's like a 35-year-old level.
So what is the ideal range for one of your male patients in my age group, 52 years old? Where are you going to try to get his testosterone level?
Well, free could be up to 900, but I mean, total up to 900. Free would be, I would say, in high 300s.
Yeah, okay.
And then I'd feel okay. If it's above 500, I'd probably tone it down a little bit.
Wouldn't you wait to see if the patient was symptomatic before toning it down? Because some of us may have had higher levels of free testosterone and total testosterone because no one bothered to take a snapshot of our hormone patterns at 25 or 30. We really don't know.
We don't know, but as far as in looking at the amount that, as far as making sure that we're giving safe levels, I had to have it with what the community standard is. And age management is definitely has a higher tolerance than the community standard, but I don't want to be too far off of what age management doctors do.
Yeah, I got you. You know, I've always thought that it would be wise for parents to purchase a gift for their children at that age of between 25 and 30 to get a complete hormone panel done for them, whether it be a male hormone panel or female hormone panel, so that when they hit 40 and 50, they have their own ranges to look at instead of some epidemiologically decided upon range to look at. What do you think about that?
Well, that's true. When someone gets a normal range from their regular doctor, they line up 50-year-old men, 1,050-year-old men, and say, that's normal. That is not normal. You really look to see what the 35-year-old is and use that as your optimum.
But what I'm saying is,
but also what you
your own
be,
snapshot. Get your kid like a time capsule of their endocrine system. Get them, give it to them.
That would be a great business too. Thank you very much.
There you go.
Yes.
I think that parents should be taking endocrine time capsule snapshots of their children. So when they turn 40 and 50 and they start looking to a doctor, instead of the doctor saying, well, we're going to try to get you into these ranges, they'll be able to say, here's my ranges from when I was 25. And they go, okay, that's where we need to get you then.
Hey, you launched a new career, hopefully, for me. No, I appreciate it. That's great. Listen to that audience.
Now you want to hear something funny?
Yeah.
I asked that same question to Dr. David Zava, who owns ZRT Labs.
Yeah.
And he thought it was a ridiculous idea.
Well, everyone has their own feeling, but I think to know your family history, and you should know your own history, how you were.
Bingo.
There you go.
So that's it. We're going to go on a campaign to get parents to start testing their children for hormone levels now, so when their kids hit 50 and 60, they'll be able to obtain their target range instead of some fabricated target range by an assay and a study. Anyway, okay, so you want to plug anything? Are you doing any lectures or anything like that soon?
No, no, not at this point, but just I have my website, joeln, like Nick, athanmd.com, which is my detox, private detox. And then the age management is evolved-medical.com, both in New York, but I serve people around the country.
How does that work? Do they have to see their own physician or see a physician here that works in tandem with you?
Well, as far as an age management, all I need to do in New York State law is see them once per year in person. The rest is done via labs in their city with phone consultation.
Gotcha.
The addiction, I see them more often.
I wonder why New York and New Jersey are the two states that are the most strict about that you have to see the patient. You have to see the patient for age management. Lots of other states aren't like that. I wonder why New York is that way.
Because it's New York.
Yeah, okay. All right, I'll buy that. I did live there. I remember it. Anyway, all right, well, listen, Joel, thanks so much for coming on the show today to talk about this.
Thanks a million.
Okay, and it is Friday, so that means that you will not hear me tomorrow, but you can listen to the Superhuman Channel 24/7 and listen to past episodes. We call them Superhuman Radio Classics. Go to shoutcast.com and tune in. Search for the Superhuman Channel. We'll see everybody Monday.